Okay. Good evening, everybody. My name is Charles Berry, and I'm the chairman of the board of the New York Society Library, and I'm delighted to welcome you all here today. The library is so thrilled to have so many new members here that I wanted to just make a few quick remarks about the library and then introduce our distinguished speaker who's so well known to all of you. The library has, of course, a tremendously rich history. It is the oldest library in New York. It was founded in 1754 when the population of New York City was 15,000 people, which is quite a remarkable thing to think about. It was founded under royal charter of George II by a group called the New York Society, and that's how it gets its name. Many people think it has something to do with the social register or something like that. It's really something of a misnomer. The library is a tremendously democratic institution with a small d, which has always been a source of pride and pleasure for me. We have a tremendous collection, which I hope you will all get to know well. It's particularly strong in literature and history, the arts, New York history in particular. We have a superb staff who are just remarkably diligent and thoughtful and courteous, and I hope you get to know many of them. We have tremendous programs that we present throughout the year, which are of great interest. We really are, as an institution, one of the best-kept cultural secrets in New York, I think. I hope that many of you will read, if you haven't already, the piece by David Halberstam that was in the Times about 12 or 15 years ago. It's actually on the library's website. It captures a lot of the essence of the library. One of the things that is most distinguished about the library is our association with writers over the years. Washington Irving was an early trustee of the library. Herman Melville took out books on whaling when he was writing Moby Dick. The list goes on and on. Wendy Wasserstein wrote a number of her plays in our somewhat grotty writing rooms at the time. She was very proud of the fact that they weren't too elegant. We've had a number of writers on our board of trustees. And we're particularly pleased to have with us this evening one of our most distinguished writer members, who I know is known to all of you, Tom Wolfe. I won't recount all of his books, which are so well known. I am very pleased to note that the protagonist, as I understand it, for The Bonfire of the Vanities, for his figure, Tom Killian, Ed Hayes is with us tonight, so I'm very pleased that we could complete that circle. I would just mention one thing about Tom Wolfe's writing, which I think is particularly remarkable and enviable, which is his contributions to the English language. Many phrases have worked their way into the language. The right stuff, radical chic, the me decade, and perhaps most particularly the phrase good old boy, which I was pretty sure must have predated him, but apparently it is actually coined by Tom. Thank you very much, and please welcome Tom Wolfe.
I think the first thing we should do is have Councillor Hayes raise his hand. Come on, Councillor. Now, that's, you know, introducing the celebrities. Well, there was a little bit of PC propaganda a moment ago. The line here is that society has nothing to do with class. But just look around you. This is an aristocracy of taste and discernment. That's who belongs to this library. I mean, the original members, you think of both Hamilton and the man who killed him, Burr, were members, took out books. Washington Irving got the inspiration for his funniest line, it is to me anyway. There are three ages of man: youth, middle age, and you haven't changed a bit. Actually, he had a good sense of humor. Although I'm not going to try to, even though we are aristocrats, I'm not going to try to keep it completely secret. Where are Jim and Barbara Bennett? Oh, there they are. Yes, Jim is a new member, and Barbara has on some of the greatest jewelry in New York. Oh no, I shouldn't mention that. And you're welcome.
If you put that in a book, it'll be
Well, they'll call it the new journalism. What can you do? I have depended on this library so much, particularly when things were really going good in New York. Everybody had money. It took me 45 minutes. I live on 79th Street, to get from 79th Street to the New York Public Library, sometimes longer than that, whether I went on by car, taxi or bus or anything else. Recently, it's been like shooting a bullet through a railroad flat. Actually, it's getting worse now. People are gradually deciding that it's all going to come around, and they'll have money again. Another thing that shows you the social clout, if I may say so, of the library is its travel over the years. Its first three locations were all down where the streets are still crooked. Nassau and the old City Hall and so on. Then it finally got as far north as University Place. And then came here. Now, it was such a rush to get uptown for social reasons that Columbia built its university up at 116th Street. Two museums were built up at 155th Street and Riverside Drive. One was the Indian Museum. The other was the American Institute of Arts and Letters, which is our attempt to recreate the French Academy. And it's a riot. There's one meeting a year up there of all the illustrious immortals. And it's now it's 155th Street, you see. It's not what's considered a great... These buildings were too big to move. It's not considered the greatest part of town. When the meeting breaks up, you should see our immortals frantically looking for the hired car. They probably hire one car a year. And you see them going around with, you know, they're looking at the little card in the window of the hired car. Nothing stops them. They'll go anywhere. They'll do anything as long as it's south of 96th Street. But this was a great pick. This was, you know, I never did know what the Rogerses did. Who built this? It was not all that early. It was 1916, I think they started building this. And there's a picture of it in that wonderful history of the library. That's, I hope I'm correct. Everyone's going to get will be given a copy, and you can see how little building construction has changed over the years. There's been nothing new in building other than steel and maybe air conditioning. It's as primitive a process as it always was. And that's the most charming thing, the only charming thing about things like the Lever House. And, it's just, you know, they're kind of erector set buildings. But recently I fell in love all over again with the work of Vachel Lindsay, who was a popular poet back before 1930. And I was looking for a book that most libraries don't have. And wouldn't you know, it was sitting right here. It's called Adventures While Preaching the Gospel of Beauty. Vachel Lindsay tried to make his poetry be musical. And he was awfully good at it. He had one whole poem which sounds like automobiles. I mean, you should really take a look. Colonel Ralph Ingersoll Enters Heaven. It's just, it is heaven all by itself. But to find this really obscure book was just a gold mine for me. I promptly lost it and went on Amazon and found on a copy after searching for a week of the book, and so I bought it for the library. I then discovered that I hadn't lost the book after all. I found it. And this is the kind of guy I am. I gave the library the better copy. The one. Anyway, this library is just a jewel, and I'm sure that all new members are going to find it just as wonderful as I have. And welcome to everybody. You're now part of the elite.
Well, thank you all very much. As Tom said, books of the 250th anniversary are available at the desk downstairs, and I believe that tours are being given throughout the library, and I hope that all of you will join in those tours. And
beginning at 7 o'clock.
Oh, beginning at 7, which is gives us 10 more minutes to drink. So,
the blue sheet of paper that everybody was handed will have the information about the
drink. Okay, great. Well, thank you very much. Welcome, and enjoy yourselves. And thank you.
My pleasure.
I really appreciate it.
I remember Rachel Lindsay. Didn't you know that? Yeah, they used to teach us that. Well, certainly wouldn't have been taught.